Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we are continuing now, and I'm going straight to my message, where we take our bearing from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's read on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Some people will have to help us to read and note it. Let's just read it from verse 1. Evangelist Ike made a lot of references to some of the scriptures we read, but many of you were not here. We will read it again during the Sunday school. Many of you were not here. Maybe because of transport, but whatever it is, those are the end time scriptures. You don't hear references of those scriptures anywhere outside of the bright circle the way you hear them here. Who will help us to read from verse 1? Read it up to verse 13 to give us a picture. Please, this afternoon, we shall do a lot of reading if God will help us to catch the picture. We took this on a Sunday school, Bible study on Tuesday, last Tuesday, but not too many people were there. Many of you here were not there. But it's so important that I cannot limit this topic to the Bible study. We all need to hear some of these things. So let's read on now from verse 1.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I start from verse 1.
Yes.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That is, he is speaking concerning the topic of the coming, second coming of Jesus Christ, which all of us are waiting for. Yes?
And by our gathering together unto him. Verse 2. And that we be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the days of Christ is at hand. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means.
Don't let anybody deceive you concerning the coming of Jesus Christ, because there is a way he will come. There are signs, you will watch out, so that don't trouble your mind. And he was saying this during the first church age. Yes?
Except they come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he has God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know that. And now you what which holdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity already work. Only who know who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish,
yes,
because they receive not the love of the truth, mm-hmm, that they might be saved.
Yes.
Verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie.
For this cause, what will God do to them, because they have no love for truth? What will God do to them? Read it. What will God do to them for this cause?
And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion.
Strong delusion.
That they should believe a lie.
Go on.
That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness.
Amen.
But we are bound to give thanks.
Hallelujah. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, church, if you have not heard it before. I spoke briefly last Sunday about this. I want to conclude it today. Because there is a group of people. These people are not unbelievers outside, though. Churchgoers. You want to serve God, but you don't want to serve God in truth. And yet you want to serve God. Well, we all know that there are a group of tares in the church. We have looked at the serpent seed. We have looked at these two spirits that are in the church. A type of the two seeds in the Garden of Eden, in the womb of Eve. Now we are continuing. But God has processes of separating them. But now, there is another process that we want to look at today, known as the spirit of delusion. Because they refuse the knowledge of truth so that they can be saved. What happened? He said God himself will give them over to a delusion so that they will believe a lie. I have to stress this because this is one of the greatest mysteries now going on in the Church of Jesus Christ. The millions of people this morning that have left their homes and going to church, believing that they are worshiping God to end up in heaven, not knowing that they have been deluded. And this delusion came from God himself. And that's why you will hear the Bible speaks about a group of people who said there will be weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. And then you see a group of people in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, where he says, not everyone that says, Lord, 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 will enter into the kingdom. He said, at that day, the day there is the reckoning day. There is a reckoning day. There is a reckoning day. There is a day of judgment. And one other mystery there that we need to know is, there is a group of people because God, it looks as if God is defeated. It looks as if God is defeated. Because people who seem to be striving, I mean to say, in iniquity, they are prospering in iniquity. And anointing is flowing. And people are being deceived by that anointing, thinking that anointing is evidence of approval by God. But brethren, evidence of approval is not anointing. And I just wish this afternoon, God can help us just catch this picture, because many of you don't have the time to come for our Bible study where we say so many things. If you can just catch this scripture, this picture that I'm trying to bring out today from the scriptures. If majority of you here can catch it, Lagos, the whole of Lagos will be in trouble. Because there will be a group of people that cannot be deceived. I'm telling you, that is the truth. Because it's a mystery. We continue to look at it. Apostle Paul said in that scripture you just read, Brother Tony, verse 7, he says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. He said, many will come. Was it not in your name I cast out devils? Was it not in your name we healed the sick? We did miracles, signs and wonders. That Matthew 7 I'm quoting. He said, but he will look at them at that day. You look at them and he will tell them, I didn't know you. Go away from me, ye that walk iniquity. And what is iniquity? Iniquity, knowing the right thing to do and refusing to do it. You knew the right thing to do. You refused to do it. You know what you are doing is wrong. You know. Is there anybody sitting down here that does not know that God forbids fornication? Is there anybody here that you didn't know that fornication is sin? If you know fornication is sin and you are still living in fornication, you are one of those that walk iniquity. Because you know it is wrong. You are still committing fornication, prostituting up and down. It's true. Who here does not know that God hates lies? Who here does not know that God hates gossip? That's why I preach the message I titled Unbelievers in the Church. There are unbelievers that are sitting down in the church. It's true. There are unbelievers. There are people that go to church that don't believe that there is hell. There are people that go to church and they don't believe the scripture that says God is a consuming fire. They don't believe. If you believe, you will fear God. Why are you afraid of the law. Why are you not armed robbers? Or why do armed robbers run away when they see police? It's because they believe. They believe that if police catch me, I'm finished. And you too, that's the reason why you are not committing crime. Because you know the repercussion of crime. But how many Christians really believe that there is a reckoning day coming that God will stand you before him and tell you to give account of yourself? Did you not know that it was against the law of God not to do this, not to do that, not to do this, not to do that? But you were doing it. And you will ask, but why didn't God stop me? I have explained that several times here. That's why. I was telling Pastor Thomas this morning and a young sister yesterday in the camp that one of the ministers that has left this place and has started his ministry stood at the altar, was preaching to them and was lying concerning me. And he knows that what he's saying is lie. He knows what he's saying is lie. He says it is lie. One of the things he told them is that I am deceiving the people in Pride Assembly. That I personally told him that he said I'm deceiving the people in Pride Assembly that I am not a signatory to the church account. And that I have confessed to him while he was here that Nami be the signatory to this church account. Now, you know he knows that what he's saying is lie. No, you know he knows it. Now, but he's not telling his girlfriend in his bedroom somewhere. Maybe the girl was scratching his head, the thing sweet and too much. Mind it, he begin talk. You know, you can talk some things. There's a way, those of you who are married, there's a way your wife will massage your massage. If he ask you anything, you could give him. Even if you don't get, you go say, I'll give you tomorrow. I'll give you tomorrow. Eh? Am I correct? If it is like that, maybe his girlfriend was scratching his head. Then maybe, then he talked, then he didn't know. He said, don't mind. Maybe he meant to call somebody and say, Pastor Moses, tell me, say, I'm a signatory. But this man stood at the altar. He vibrated after speaking in tongues so that they would all believe him. And said, Pastor Moses is a hypocrite. Now, I told him, I said, that brother, if he's a true seed of God, God will deal with him. But you know what? If nothing happens to him for standing at the altar and lying like that, if nothing happens, then that is evident he's a serpent seed because his judgment has been concluded. It's the same thing now. I'm making reference to him. Even to you sitting down here, if you find yourself in any form of evil, work of unrighteousness, and nothing is happening to you, you are enjoying, you are prospering in it, it's also evidence you are not a seed of God. Because whom the Lord loveth, what does he do? Justice you. Hallelujah. But those who are not his own, he leaves them until judgment day. Why? Because their judgment has been concluded. They can continue to walk in their iniquity. Praise the Lord. Now you need to know these things. There are people sitting down in the church. They have no love for truth. Look, the gospel is so clear. The early apostles had this prophetic insight into the condition that the church will go through. Let's read one of the conditions so that you understand. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Brother, I can read it in the Sunday school. Said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, what will happen? He said, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and what? Doctrines of devils. Hallelujah. I am quoting, which scripture am I quoting? 1 Timothy chapter 4. Read it, somebody. Please come with microphone.
1 Timothy chapter 4.
Read on. Uh-huh.
Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly.
That is, the Holy Spirit is speaking clearly. That about it, more than 1,000 years ago, the Spirit was speaking. That what?
That in the latter times.
This is the latter times.
Some shall depart from the faith.
He says some shall depart from this Bible Christianity, the faith.
Giving heed to seducing spirits.
They'll be giving heed to what?
Seducing spirits.
And what?
And doctrines of devils.
Yes.
Speaking lies in hypocrisy.
What do they do? Speaking lies. In what? Hypocrisy.
Having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Having their conscience, what? Seared with a hot iron. Sister, sit down. This seducing spirit, what is a seducing spirit? It's a spirit that is trying to make you do wrong. To go against God. To make you fornicate spiritually now. It's a seducing spirit. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. In hypocrisy. Who is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is one that acts what he is not, pretending to be what he is not. That's a hypocrite. So that he's claiming to be a man of God. That is hypocrisy. So he has to speak lies to make you believe that he's a man of God. One of the things that minister told his church is that this church, that I have given instruction to members of this church that they should call me daddy and call my wife mommy. He didn't say it secretly, now he said it openly. And maybe that is the order I gave you here. Mommy and daddy. And after he spoke it, another evangelist that used to be here too that left came and corroborated it. That it is what my wife says that I do here. That is, she's the one running this church from the back. Amen. They fight me tired. They did not work. They now want to fight this poor woman. They want to join them inside now. Now it's wrong. They know what they are saying is wrong. They know it. They know what they are saying is wrong. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. But if you read that scripture carefully, the emphasis in that scripture is not the liar. It's not the hypocrite. It's not the seducing spirit. It is the emphasis there is to those who will follow that spirit. Many will give heed to that seducing spirit. So the emphasis is you hearing them. He said they will give heed. That is, they will be listening and acting on what the seducing spirit is saying. Let's read another scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Praise the Lord.
Read it from verse 1.
2 Timothy 3 verse 1. This know also that...
Read it up to verse 9.
This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Yes. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters.
See, proud. As you read that scripture, I want you to have this in mind while she's reading. No part of that scripture is written to the unbeliever. No part of the Bible. Every letter Apostle Paul wrote, he wrote it to the church. He was addressing the condition in the church. So when he said men shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, he's talking about Christians within the church. Perilous times shall come in the latter days, and we are at that time now. Now read on. So don't think that when they say, you know, heady, truth breakers and all this, they are referring to 419 cocaine pushers and prostitutes outside. No! People who are going to church with Bible, speaking in tongue, going for water baptism and they are out. Workers in the church, preachers, read on now.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents.
Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. The youth leader was battling with the case yesterday, day before yesterday in the church. A 15-year-old girl that ran from the house to the camp without letting the mother know. And that young girl is supposedly a member of the youth fellowship. And what happened? The mother sent several reports to the youth, and they went and visited them, and they saw what was going on. They took actions, they advised, and all of a sudden, the mother phoned that the girl has disappeared from the house. They don't know where she is, and discovered she was there. They brought her out. Why did you leave your house without letting your mother know? She began to say, I hate my mother. In fact, if I have my way, if I have a gun, I will shoot her. If I have my way, I will kill her. So the thing passed cheek ahead. He said his head won't scatter. He came and met the assistant youth leader, Brother Ifeanyi. He said, now you have followed come me too, so that you will finish what you started when you visited us. He said, wait till I start. She said, you say you want to settle us now. He said, and she was there, raking against her mother. Raking against her own parent. The mother that carried you in her womb for 9 months. The mother that gave you suck, protected you, took care of you until you can now speak big grammar. You now have hand you can use to shoot her with a gun. And yet she's going to church. Disobedient to parents, yes?
Unthankful.
Unthankful, yes?
Unholy.
Unholy.
Without natural affection.
Without natural affection. It's in the church, oh. Natural affection is natural affection. In the church, there are lesbians. In the church, there are homosexuals. Is that a natural affection? It's a demonic affection. Go on. And it's in the church, oh. Go on.
Truth breakers.
Truth breakers.
False accusers. Incontinent.
You are hearing them now. They're carrying Bible. False accusers. Incontinent. Yes?
Fierce.
Uh-huh.
Despisers of those that are good.
Can you see? What do they do? They despise those that are good. In the church here. Have you not sat down and just seen somebody hates you for nothing? Eh? And it's a brother, Christian sister. Eh? Why? Because everybody talks about you that you are so nice. That's all. That's the only reason he hates you. Yes?
Traitors. Heady.
Traitors. Heady. Proud. Go on.
High-minded.
High-minded. When you say talk of high-mindedness, he's in the church of Jesus Christ. You see high-minded people. And yet, the Bible tells us we should condescend to men of low degree. You are supposed to humble yourself. The Christian life is not a life of competition. When you see a man that has no income, has no business, all he has is nothing other than the grace of God in his life, and begins to think that I must ride this car, I must do this one, I only wear designer's wear, I must this, you know where that spirit is coming from. It's part of the spirit of the end time. High-minded. High-minded. I've seen people just out of... I've told you people something, and I mean it. Those of us who are married, the first person to give testimony of your Christianity is who? It's your wife. How many of you married here can stand up and say, my wife can testify I am a Christian? Can you stand up and let your wife confirm it? It's nobody, nobody. I said stand up and let your wife confirm it. There are some of you that if your wife confirms to the contrary, you finish her when you go home. So what will she say? She will sit there and say, ah. She will look one side and say, ah, he's good though. Now Christian. Pastor, now you won't put me for trouble with this one. So, he's good. Brethren, not too many people can stand and say, look, I know my wife is a Christian. I know my husband is a Christian. Hallelujah. And speaking about high-mindedness, there are brethren, men, that will not buy their wife, rapper. will not buy their wife better thing to wear, but come and see what they want to exhibit concerning themselves outside. It's because that spirit is upon you, high-mindedness. See, if you want to truly show, say you be man, let it reflect on your wife. Let it reflect on your children. Hallelujah. That's the truth. The first breakthrough that my brother has, Erasius, engineer Erasius, is that the name? Erasius, I'm always finding it difficult to call your name. Are you here? Where is he? Is he here? Is his wife here? Where is his wife? Is his wife here? Engineer Erasmus. Eh? What, Erasmus? I don't know, something like that. You know who I'm referring to, engineer? Is he here? Where is the wife? No, just wave your hand if the wife is around. The wife here? She was here? Maybe going to the toilet? The first breakthrough that brother had, because devil suffered him. The enemy peppered him until he found this church. Located this church, God gave him victory, breakthrough, because he remembered that in the time of difficulty, his wife stood by him. As soon as he had a breakthrough, before he bought himself any car, he bought his wife a car. Bam. That's the truth. And he left the car with the wife, and they will work out for public transport, they go. Why? That's a proper man. He's not a high-minded person. High-minded person. Okay, I'm hearing somebody making one comment somewhere. Praise the Lord. Yes, they're reminding me that the wife stood by him. That is, if the wife did not stand by him, he should not buy her that car. That's what you're saying. Eh? Praise the Lord. Now that is correct, because there are some women that will increase your problem in the period of your trial. Eh? There are some women that will increase the problem. They will tell you, your men are there, sitting down here. Other men are there. And they will increase the problem. There are some men that when it is time to go home, they are scared even to go home. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm looking at a proper setting. In a proper setting, what that brother did is what we should do. I'm still looking at high-mindedness. High-mindedness. Imagine that I will come to church and wear suit, new cloth, new shoe, new what? Then, when my wife is coming, she's following me with a dress that has already, you know, and then the shoe, all her leg, don't cut all. And then she's walking with bathroom slipper, pyam, pyam, and following me with a baby for back. And here am I with designer clothes. Something is wrong with me if you do that. Is that spirit of high-mindedness? Sister, continue.
Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of
God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Brethren, how many times do you fast in a month? How many times, Christian, the condition of the end time, how many times do you pray in a day? How many times, how long do you stay to read your Bible? Compare that with how many times you watch your television. Compare that with how many times you listen to those worldly music. Compare with how many times you go to watch football, to do all these things that bring nothing but pleasure. It's a spirit of the latter times. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Go on.
Having a form of godliness but denying the power.
They have a form of godliness and they deny the power. The godliness goes with a power. That power is a power of conversion. If you have a form of godliness, always going to church, participating in church activities, you have a form of godliness, but the power of conversion, you have denied God the ability to do that. That is what he's talking about. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. This gospel we have, this Bible we carry, has a power to convert. Has a power to change lives. It has same power that heals, that delivers, that breaks curses. That same power can also convert. Go on. And remember also, we can still go further. There are churches also that have a form of godliness but deny the power. They will not allow the move of the Holy Ghost. They will not allow the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I want to see anybody who rightly reads the Bible and can stand and say, these gifts are in the days of the apostle. And go to Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 and read Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. How is it the same yesterday, today, and forever? And then you put the power side to the apostle. He was yesterday. He is not the same today. And worse still, people, followers of William Branham, supposedly, deny the gifts. How many intermessage churches will you go today in this country, Nigeria, that will allow the Spirit of God move through prophecies and what you see happening in the church like this? Why? They have a form of godliness and they deny the power thereof. Apostle Paul says something following that verse. Go on.
From such, turn away.
What did he say you should do? From such people, what should you do? Turn away from them. Turn away from them. If you sit in assemblies where they don't allow you to pray to your gift, that pastor is killing you spiritually and is denying you of a reward of service. What will you tell the Lord Jesus Christ after the rapture? What did you do with the gift he gave you? My pastor say, Abby, my pastor say, get away from that place. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a one-man show. How can all of you gather here and only me we preach? And only me we heal? Only me we prophesy? Only me we do counseling? Any other person, not to hold people when they are under anointing for me. Some people give not to hold people when they want for. That is it. Then you say you are a church worker. I'm a church worker. Which kind of work you they do? When people fall under anointing, when pastor throw a hand like this, now they go lift them up. Go on.
For of this sort are they which creep into houses.
No, go to verse 13.
Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse.
Evil men and seducers are the latter times. What will they do? What will happen to them? They will wax what? Strong and what? Strong. Strong and strong. They are evil. They will continue in it. Worse and worse and worse. Go on.
Deceiving and being deceived.
They will be deceiving and they will be deceived themselves. They are all evil men. Plus those who listen to them. Plus those who deceive. All of them are the same thing. Go ahead.
Verse 14.
Yes.
But continue thou in the things which
that thou hast learned. That is what we are going now. Continue. Apostle Paul said you should continue in the things that what? Read on.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned.
Uh-huh.
And has been assured of.
Uh-huh.
Knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
Who did they learn from? Apostle Paul. Because he was sure. Sure. Certainty. Certainty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's read another condition again. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Read from verse 2 to 4. Who is with the microphone?
2 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 2.
Yes.
Preach the word.
That is admonishment to every pastor, every preacher, every minister. Preach the word.
And be instant in season.
Yes.
Out of season.
Yes.
Reprove.
Uh-huh.
Rebuke. Exhort with all long sufferings and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
A time it will come, and that time has come. That time has come. When they, the listeners, going to church, they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, I am preaching normal sermon here. The way Apostle Paul preached, the way William Branham preached, the way Peter preached, the way John the Baptist preached. But do you know, some people who come to this church, they say, "Kai, Pastor, I like the way you preach because you preach raw." And I'm wondering, what is raw about what I am saying? I'm only saying what the Bible says. But because the gospel has been watered down. Has been watered down. So, when you meet where people are saying it the way it should be said, you are surprised. Kai, this man, the way they talk are raw. There's nothing raw. Now, Bible I talk. Thief, not thief. What do you want me to call thief? Person carry the thing will not belong to him. Where did he be? Then I say, "You are a thief." He said, "Kai, pastor is raw." Have I added my own on top?
No.
I said what you are. You are a thief. You are a fornicator. You are a serpent seed. You are a tear. So what? Now me talk am. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you discover after you have seen this truth, when you are sharing with somebody, the way they talk, and so you tell the talker. It's the same way. Every entire message church you go, that's all in the preacher. If you see our evangelists when they go outside, it's because now me they hear, you never hear them. They go to marketplace. Hallelujah. Sister Mercy is here. This is a dull woman. Are you here today? Sister Mercy, you are here. Now, he said he met Evangelist Ike and his group at Ladipo one day, some few years back. He said that they were preaching. And she felt that, what these people are saying was correct. Okay, Alade Market. Okay, Alade Market. According to her, she said she was so carried away, she went to them and called them and then bought drinks for them. She said, and then they drank, and she said, what surprised her was that after she gave them, she said the type of sales she made that day, she has never made that type of sales. So she knew that what these people were saying, they must be true men of God. So she said, even that day, she paid the tithe to them. Though I know she am. But hallelujah. Amen. But she paid the tithe. But the area I'm going is this. She said, now it was time they were supposed to pray for her after she had given them drinks. They said, a sister who was following them, also one of the gifted sisters, saw revelation for her and said, I can't pray. I have a message for you. I can't give you the message because you are wearing trousers. Remove that trouser and come and meet me. After they don't take her drink, oh. Was that Pastor Moses? No. It's the spirit of this message. The fact that you're giving me money doesn't mean that you will catch me. I will tell you the truth after I've collected the money from you. Why? Go on. A time will come. Go on.
For a time will come.
Yes.
When they will not endure sound doctrine.
They will not endure sound doctrine.
But after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves a
church. After their own lust. After their own heart desire, they will heap to themselves what? Teachers.
Teachers having itching ears.
They will have itching ears.
And they shall turn away their ears from the truth.
They will turn their ears away from the truth.
And shall be turned unto fables.
And now, watch it, brethren. They will turn their ears. Of course, if you turn your ears away from truth, where will your ears fall into? Fables. The Bible described them as fables. They say they have itching ears. That means there is something they like to hear. And these days, church, what do people like to hear? Gospel of prosperity. The ones who will tell you, tomorrow you'll be a millionaire. Amen. That is my pastor. man that will stand and tell you cocaine pusher, hell is waiting for you. They say, stop condemning. You that you are carrying boyfriend, girlfriend anywhere, one day Magu will catch you. Do you know what is Magu? You know what is Magu?
Yes, sir.
Magu means what? Don't climb. Continue to climb. One day you will climb, there will be no separation. Anybody preaching that type of sermon, you say, And so, because this is what they want, what will happen? That is what is illustrated in 1 Kings chapter 21. Let's open it now. That is what we looked at on Tuesday. Let's look at it again.
1 Kings 21.
Yes. 1 Kings chapter 21. Read chapter 21.
And it came to pass after these things.
Yes.
The Naboth Jezreelite had a vineyard.
Please read it so that we can hear. We know you are just from the camp. Something happened to your voice. It's okay, but read it so that we can hear. Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard. Yes.
Which was in Jezreel. Had by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab said unto Naboth, saying, give me the vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs. Because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than this. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab said unto his house, and came into his house heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite has spoken to him.
Okay, just because of time, let me explain what that chapter 21 is saying. Listen, because of time. Read it on your own. Note it, go and read it. Naboth is a poor Jew that had a piece of land that his father left for him next to the king's land, mansion. And maybe the king wanted to expand his mansion, and then now call Naboth to collect his own, to buy it. But remember that a proper son will not sell an inheritance like that. And so Naboth told him, no, this land is the land my father gave me. We cannot sell it. And maybe what Ahab wanted to do, with the land, you know, was so much disturbing to him. He got very worried. And when he got home after discussing with Naboth, his wife Jezebel, and we all know who Jezebel was. Amen. You all know who Ahab was. Ahab, if you read that verse 21, the testimony of Ahab was that among all the kings of Israel, there is none that has sold himself to do evil like Ahab. Ahab was so full of evil. And now, he went, part of the evil was to marry that Philistine woman, Jezebel. And because he married Jezebel, he polluted the whole land. Of course, it is Jezebel that imported into Israel the act of paint. When you see a Jew dress and do her hair one kind, do her hair, put color here, put color here, put India over here, put Chinese over here, dress it one kind, pass it through one devil helmet in a saloon, and then pour oil there, fry it very well, then carry paint her face, paint her nail, paint her legs, carry neck chain, tie there, hang for ear, hang everywhere, and it's moving. Where did she learn it from? From the first lady. The best setter. Hallelujah. That is not the way Sarah was dressing. And whose daughter are you, church? 1 Peter chapter 3 says you are whose daughters? Sarah's daughter. You are to emulate Sarah. But there are Christians that of all the characters in the Bible, is Jezebel they want to imitate. Sitting there in the church. They may even be your neighbor now, so they sit down there now. Amen. When you're going to church, the character you want to follow is the same character that Ahab was following. See how Ahab ended up. Jezebel now advised, say, you are the king. Come on, it's useless. It's making you worry. Okay, leave. I know what to do. He called, the Bible says, sons of Belial. And the children of Belial said, come. The way that some landlords do in Lagos. There are people that they can hire to go and stand. Maybe Tony, your landlord, give you quick notice. And he wants you to leave the house. You don't know, say, you don't go court. You don't hire somebody to come and say, when you leave, I say, you'll be Tony. So when they go, say, case number this, the Tony versus landlord, Tony will come out. Maybe not be you. Somebody will come and say, now you be Tony. Say, when will you pack out? I'll pack out tomorrow. If you don't pack out tomorrow, what happened? I'm going to throw my thing outside. That's all. Okay, judge, you say, okay, we'll give you up to even next tomorrow to pack. Bara, bara. You sit up for house. You see OPC, everybody coming. What did happen? When you reach court, they will say, judgment was passed now. See, you were witness. See what you talk. See what you talk. Sons of Belial were gathered. Hallelujah. Sons of Belial were gathered to accuse Naboth that he was blaspheming the king. And if you blaspheme, it is death sentence. So they set up a court. Meanwhile, Ahab didn't know. But they kill Naboth under a false accusation with false witnesses that said they were there. They killed him. And as soon as he died, Jezebel now came and said, stand up now. That your young man don't die. Go and do what you want to do in the land. He said, he don't die. He said, what happened? He said, I have taken care of him. Amen. And he stood up now on his way to go and inspect the land. God told his prophet, Elijah, the Tishbite. Oh yeah. And he took off. He met him on the way. Hey, king, help. You have killed now. You are going to take possession, Abi. And told him, thus said the Lord. Oh, wheresoever the dogs licked the wound, the blood of Naboth, there also they will, you read it and you see the kind of punishment. It was so much until even a man that has sold himself to sin like that, whose conscience had been seared with a hot iron like Ahab, the Bible says he began shiver when he heard what will happen to him. But the emphasis is that a death sentence was passed over him and Jezebel. Now, chapter 22. Who is reading it? A death sentence has been passed over Ahab and Jezebel by God. Who is reading? From verse 1.
And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel.
Uh-huh.
And it came to pass in the third year.
They continued how many years after that? 3 years. That's why I say, 3 years passed. It looks as if nothing will happen. The thing where God talk, it no go happen. 3 years. Since 3 years passed, nothing happened, nothing happened. Boldness came up again to Ahab. Ahab that has a death sentence under thus said the Lord. By a vindicated prophet. A vindicated prophet. A past death sentence. Hallelujah. In this age, we have a vindicated prophet. The man William Marion Braham. He has given us thus said the Lord. He said, thus said the Lord. Ichabod is written against the Pentecostals. That is, the glory of God has departed. The glory of God has departed. Then what is happening in their midst? That is the mystery we are looking at now. Go on.
Verse 2.
Yes.
And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel.
Yes.
And the king of Israel said unto his servants,
uh-huh,
know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours?
Don't you know that piece of land, Ramoth in Gilead, do you know that it belongs to Israel? You want to go to battle. Abi, go ahead.
And weep is still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria.
We are sitting down here, our land is there, and the king of Syria is there taking care, and we're sitting down here. Instead of us to go there and collect it.
Verse 4. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel,
yes.
I am as thou art, my people as thy people,
yes.
My horses as thy horses.
Yes.
And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel,
remember by this time Israel has been divided into two, Judah and Israel.
Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today.
Yes.
Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them,
yes.
Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?
Now, listen, church. You have to catch this picture. Please, just give me very few minutes. How many minutes did I ask for? Few. Please, I didn't ask for too many minutes, just few minutes. Now, listen, church, you have to catch it. You have to catch this thing. That's why we are here. You have to catch it. He says, hallelujah. Because in Israel, before you go for battle, you must go and inquire from the prophet. And I want you to imagine that as apostate, as abominable as Ahab was, he still had prophets that were around him. 400 of them. 400 of them. And he said, but Jehoshaphat asked him, now that we are going, let's go and inquire. Immediately said, I have prophets. He gathered them. He gathered 400. Not four of them, 400. Amen. Look for us and see whether if we go for this battle, we shall succeed or not. And 400 of them said the same thing. They shook their heads. They shook their heads. And they went to him and said, hallelujah. Because of time, I'll just state it. I'll state the story. Just sit down. You read it on your own. And he said, go, you will succeed. Hi. The way they were saying, 400 of them. But Jehoshaphat still looked at him and said, come, apart from this 400, don't you have any more prophets? Why would Jehoshaphat still ask for another prophet when 400 have prophesied the same thing? I think the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let the matter be established. 400 have already spoken. Amen. And then all of a sudden, I'm telling Bible story now. He said, there is one. His name is Micaiah. That man doesn't say anything good concerning me. Jehoshaphat said, don't talk like that now. Invite him to come. Let's also hear from him. And then they sent for him. When they sent the messenger that went, a man told Micaiah, said, Micaiah, look, 400 doctors of divinity. 400 GOs. 400 mighty preachers with branches all over the world. They have told the king, this is what they say. No, go talk your own different, because you're always talking different. He told him, he said, as the Lord liveth, it's only what God tells me that I will say. Well, he went there. Hey, you're welcome, Micaiah. See what is happening, oh? Before, Micaiah did not shake his head as he used to shake. Immediately he reached there. He said, see, the way it is written, you can see clearly. He said, go, the Lord will be with you. You go away. And they go. Ahab said, Micaiah, come. Sure, I told you, don't say anything except what the Lord has told you concerning me. He said, okay. You want the truth? You want the truth? I see Israel scattered as sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, all these ones have no shepherd. Let them return to their homes. Ahab said, Joshua, shall I told you? Shall I told you this man will not say anything good concerning me? But you say you want truth. He don't tell you truth tonight, they vex. And then one of those popular ministers, popular prophet by the name of Zedekiah. Hallelujah. Remember, when they were prophesying before Micaiah came, he was so sure, he took horns that he made of brass. They were shining. He shook them in the spirit. He danced to the king. He said, take prophetic action. By this, that is how you will push the Syrians. You will succeed. Now, Micaiah is coming to say, Nalah, he's speaking contrary to what he spoke. And the man Zedekiah, he stood up and went to Micaiah and gave him one slap. Powers! This useless man. Where did the Spirit of God leave me to go and prophesy by you? Hallelujah. Is that not the same thing the denominations are saying concerning us? Where is this bride assembly people where they talk, where your pastor, where your pastor? What do they know concerning the gospel? I stood on the main road here with one of the Jews around one time. And he was telling me, he said, I will teach you Bible. I said, not true. I said, not true, because me, I'm still learning. You have finished learning. Praise God for you. Me, every day I'm still learning. So I agree, you can teach me. Amen. They believe they know more than us because their members are more than us. Zedekiah slapped Micaiah. Micaiah tell and say, okay, don't worry now. You wait and see. When that day will come, the way you're going to run to hide. That day now you go remember, say, now God talk. Ahab said, bundle him and take him to the keeper in the prison there. Put her in the dungeon, the deep, deep one, chain him there. He said, put it there until I come. He said, that is if you come back. Oh, glory be to God. As I was saying, a true prophet does not argue. A true prophet does not argue. He tells you, thus said the Lord, if you slap him, now you savvy. If you kick him, now you savvy. He has told you, thus said the Lord. Oh, you think he had no hand to slap Zedekiah back? He was looking at a dead man already. And while he was standing there, a vision broke forth. And then the mystery was explained. Why? What happened? As soon as Ahab made up his mind to go for that battle, a meeting was held in heaven by God with the host of heaven. And they gathered all the angels, all everybody gathered, and God was telling them, who will go and make Ahab to go to this battle so that he will die there? Who will go and make him to go? That's where we are coming now. And he said, this one brought this idea. It's not going to work. This idea is not going to work. And the Bible says, a lying spirit appeared and came in their midst. Remember, the lying spirit does not live in heaven. Because the Bible said, Satan go away to and fro. Eh? Like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. When he came to Job, the same meeting was going on when he came. And he said, Satan, where did they come from? Where did he say he was coming from? To and fro, I have no address. I mean, you get any work for me? You get anywhere, you want to send me go? God, I dare. Remember, he's a servant of God. Satan is a servant of God. Hallelujah. And so, that lying spirit, as meeting is going on, he decided to come. What are they talk now? Anything I feel do? Hallelujah. He said, now concerning Ahab, I know what to do. God asked him, what is your idea? How will you make Ahab to go to that battle so that he will die? He said, I will go and possess those his prophets and cause them to prophesy lie to him. That is where we are going to, the spirit of delusion. So the 400 of them were receiving revelation as they used to receive. Now, when you now see them, while they were there prophesying, they were prophets. But the spirit by which they were prophesying was what? A lying spirit. Why? So that Ahab is the target. So that Ahab will believe their lies and end up where? In death. And so they came. You know that Ahab, he knows that what Micaiah was saying was true. I was saying on Tuesday that serpent seeds are normally very smart. Tares are very smart. Very, very smart. They kept Micaiah in the prison. Let's go for that battle. But when it was time, Ahab called Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, come. You will disguise. I will disguise myself like an ordinary man. You dress like a king. Eh? You hear? And foolish Ahab. That is how Christians are. We believe all things. It's Christians that can very easily be taken advantage of. But the children of serpent, they are smart. I mean smart. Smart. I mean smart. And he said, you dress like that. Why? In every battle, the target is who? The king. Because the king is always the one leading the battle. Once they grab the king, all others, they surrender. Because there's no more leader. Now who will give the order? And as soon as they were to go for that battle, the Syrian army now, they said, see, the general, the king, they called, say, don't go after any soldier. Go only after the king. Don't touch anybody. Your target is just grab the king of Israel. But meanwhile, he was so smart. The Bible records in that chapter 22, you can go home and read it on your own. Jehoshaphat now dressed like a king. Mumu. there's no more mumu followers. Our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last. And true victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who is the original life. Hallelujah, the original life, the original sin. The original world is what I believe. The Son of Man, the seven seal to be unveiled. The original life, the original seal. That's why the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. It says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. They will lead you to unnecessary trouble. Mumu Jehoshaphat begin go battle. So one time the enemy saw him, they started pursuing him. Pursuing him. The Bible says Jehoshaphat cried. Now some of you that are crying today, now serpents push you to the trouble you have entered now. Some of you that are crying today, lamenting all you have gone through because you believed somebody and you pushed yourself into it. Jehoshaphat cried and cried. And I just want to imagine what he was saying when he was crying. I don't know who can help us cry that type of cry. Am I Ahabo? Am I Ahabo? Let me be Ahab. I'll be visitor. I don't get hand for this thing. I don't know why I put my hand for this thing. Micaiah talk about. Micaiah talk about. I still follow this man. Hallelujah. They discovered that it was not Ahab. They left him. Amen. The Bible says they were still looking for him. Remember, he was destined to die. The Bible says somebody just threw an arrow by venture. Eh? At this, now the last arrow, where I gave it this. Hey, prophetic action. Anywhere a day. Hallelujah. He just throw anything. Bah, now the last arrow I gave you this. Prophetic action. Hey, this arrow. Look for where Ahab day. The team begin look for him. Where he was hiding the arrow. Ah, you cannot hide it from God. You cannot hide it from God. You may cover your sins that no man else may know, but you cannot hide it from God. You can't hide it. That arrow found him. And that is how Ahab died. They carried him there. His blood, exactly as it was spoken of. That is how Ahab died. The dogs came and licked his blood. The same thing also, Jezebel died in the same way also. The same thing, dogs came and licked, just as Micaiah had spoken. But the emphasis was how Ahab was killed. He met his death through the delusion that God brought upon him through those false prophets. And today, the same thing is happening also. A lot of people, that the spirit has been released in the church today, because they will not listen to the true prophets. They prefer to listen to lying spirits and seducing spirits. He, God, has given a lying spirit to be prophesying to them that they will go to hell. So that they will go to hell. The lying spirit is telling a fornicator, don't worry, you are sons of God. You are dressing like a prostitute and coming, and then a lying spirit is telling you, no, it doesn't matter. You are sitting down there in a church. Hallelujah. And somebody is telling you, as long as you pay your tithe and your offering, God is well pleased. A lying spirit is telling you, it's grace, it's grace. It's not what is outside, it's in the heart. It's in the heart. But my Bible tells me it's out of the abundance of the heart. But the mouth speaketh. That dress that you are putting on to expose yourself, that picture was first in your heart before you went to the tailor to design it. Hallelujah. It's true. Before you wake up and design your face with paints, the picture of a masquerade was in your heart and you want to look like one. That is why you bought those paint box and paint brushes. The picture of a masquerade was in your heart. And I want to imagine why a Christian would like to look like a masquerade. But a man of God, anointed, a prophet of God, is telling you, it doesn't matter. Just believe him. Just believe him. Just believe God. Say with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's all. You are going to heaven. See, you are born again. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom. Except a man be born of the Spirit and know. See? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongue? You have not spoken in tongue? Stand up. You want to speak in tongue? It's you that is holding yourself. You see? You can speak in tongue. You are the one holding yourself. You have the Spirit of God in you. Didn't the Bible say you have the Spirit of God in you? If the Bible says I have the Spirit of God in me, it means I have the Spirit of God in me. Just believe it. You are the one holding yourself. Who is preaching? Is Ahab's prophet preaching? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, they are in the majority. 400 of them saying the same thing. A simple one. The devil has decided to undress women. And it is in this Pentecostal stage it started. I have told you several times in this church, when Satan means you, he doesn't just come, wow, like that. If you sit down like this and Satan slap you, talas, at the same time, he don't mean you anything. He just want to deal with you that moment and go away. But if he wants to deal with you in a way it will last, he will work on you. He can work on you for 10 years. He will start small, small. Small, small. Don't think that women began to dress half naked and go to church overnight. It started small, small. The first thing they started was to remove the head.